Churches of Christ present Bible Talk with your speaker, Don McWhorter.
Get your Bible. Open with us to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. This is Bible Talk, and we try to be true to the name that the program wears. We always discuss just the Bible. So, when you join us, you need to have your Bible handy and pencil and paper to write on and make some notes in your Bible. Underline some words or circle some words and put some notes in the on the side there, on the margin. You'd be surprised how badly my Bible is messed up in that way. But you see, when I go back, I have not only the opportunity to see more, but to see what I've already learned because I've made notations there, and I have my notebook where I've made all the notes from the times that I've studied before. Now, we're going to be studying today an act of conversion, and that's what the book of Acts is about. It's about the stories of those who were converted to Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. Now, the book of Acts is a wonderful thing. It's a history book. But it enables us to see more clearly the principles that are taught in so many other places in the New Testament. You've heard the old saying, I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. Well, we have a lot of sermons here in this book, and we also have a lot of examples. It would be very difficult for us to understand many of the principles that we find in the New Testament without the book of Acts, which illustrates, shows us, as it were, in living color, exactly how these principles were put into action. And so we're going to be studying today about the conversion of the Ethiopian. Do you know how far it is from Jerusalem over to Ethiopia, which is in Africa? Get a map sometime and look. This man had made quite a journey. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship according to the Jewish law. But the Jewish law had been repealed. Worship offered according to that standard was no longer acceptable to God. Paul explains to the people at Colossae, blotting out that handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us. He had taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in respect of meat or drink or holy days or Sabbath days. Why? These things were a shadow of that which is to come. But the body, the reality, is in Christ. And so, nobody was in Christ in the Old Testament. Not after Jesus came, until he died and rose again, could anybody be in Christ. And so it was after that resurrection when Jesus had already ascended to heaven, carrying his blood, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, carrying his blood so that animal blood would no longer be needed and indeed would not be accepted to God, just the blood of his own lamb. John 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, Jesus, that taketh away the sin of the world. We want to see what this man did. He really obeyed the gospel. And we have the gospel explained to us in so many different principles. But here we see it put into action. So we can see exactly how these principles work. I want to say some things about this man. He was returning from Jerusalem where he had offered a worship which he did not know that God did not accept. He was on his way home and he was reading his Bible. First thing I want to tell you is the man read what he had. When people tell me, oh, I know somebody that's interested in being saved, preacher, you need to go talk to them. First thing that comes to my mind, and many times I ask out loud, is he reading his Bible? A man's not very interested in salvation that isn't reading. This man had only a portion of the Scriptures, of course. The New Testament Scriptures had not even been written. He must have been wealthy. He was a man of great authority under the Queen Candace. As a matter of fact, he was her treasurer. He was of such stature and had such finances that he was able to make that trip from over in Ethiopia all the way up to Jerusalem and back in a chariot drawn by horses. He read what he had. He was reading from the New Testament. Yes, the New Testament, which was concealed in the Old Testament. There's an old saying, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. But the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. God had called Philip away. Philip had been in a great meeting, and God said, but you need to come. There's someone seeking salvation that I want you to see. Already many people had been saved in Samaria. He went up there and preached to them. There had been a great persecution. The church was a large church in the city of Jerusalem, but a great persecution arose against that church. Saul was one of the leaders in that, who later became the great apostle Paul. And the record says they were all scattered abroad, and whenever we were preaching the word, except the apostles, they stayed at Jerusalem. Now, Philip was one of those men, not an apostle, but a man who used his talent to go tell other people about Jesus Christ, about his gospel, the good news, and how men can be saved. He had gone to Samaria. In Samaria, he had preached three things. Acts chapter 8 tells us that he had preached about the church, which is the kingdom of God, about the name of Christ, which is his authority, and about baptism. And the people who received what he said obeyed the gospel. But we're sort of getting ahead of ourselves. He's called away from that city, and he's told to go down to the road that goes between Jerusalem to Gaza. And we know a great deal about Gaza, don't we? Anybody that's been alive in these last 50 years knows exactly where Gaza is. And there he would intercept on that main highway this man from Ethiopia who would be reading the scriptures. And so Philip went to him. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? His answer was, how can I except some man should guide me? And he requested that Philip join him there in the chariot. The record tells us these sweet words. Philip broke the good news to him by saying what the gospel contained. Beginning at the same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Now, Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, how we avail ourselves of it, now that's what the gospel is. We ought to be able, wherever we are in the Bible, to go to Jesus. Because everything in both the Old and the Old Testament points forward to Him. All in the New Testament points backward to Him. Because Jesus is the center. Jesus is the hub of the Scriptures. This man was reading from the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. Now, Acts chapter 8 doesn't tell us that, but he tells us what words he was reading. And when we see what he was reading, then we know that's what Isaiah 53 says. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb is dumb before his shearer, so open he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And so the man asked Philip, this prophet, Isaiah, who is he speaking about? Is he speaking about himself or of some other man? And that's why chariots were such an important thing for them. They could continue the journey while they sat there studying the Scriptures. There's where Philip began. And he preached to the man, Jesus. Why is it that God gave a commission that said that men are to go all over the world and preach the gospel, the good news? The gospel is that which saves us, 1 Corinthians 15:3. There is no salvation without this good news. When the man said, how can I understand it? except some man should guide me. That leaves a big problem for those who believe that the only way you understand the Scriptures is for the Holy Spirit to guide you. Now, here's an excellent time, if that's true, for God to show us. Here's a religious man. He loved God and he wanted the truth. And he's traveling all alone, by himself, seeking it. Why didn't God, instead of stopping the great gospel meeting that was going on in Samaria, and send Philip down there to him, why didn't God just send the Holy Spirit and tell this man what that passage meant? Because that's not the way people understand the Scriptures. They were given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but they're understood only by study, examination. This man wanted to understand what he was reading. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all Scripture, Old and New Testament. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. You see, if we want to find out truths from God, we find it in the Bible. But we have to get it from the Bible. The Holy Spirit gave us the Bible, and then we are to study it. That's why it's so important to know that he read what he had. Now, how did he understand it? He said, I need some help. Sometimes we read the Bible and we understand easily. There are times when we read the Bible and we need a little help in understanding it. What does it mean? Did you know in every instance of conversion in the New Testament that there was a preacher present to explain what the Scriptures were and what they said so the people there could understand what was being said? We'll come back to that in a moment. That's a very important point. Now, God didn't tell Philip, I want you to arise and go toward the south, the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Leave Samaria. Go down there and tell that man. The Holy Spirit's going to tell him what that means, and the Holy Spirit will guide him, and then you can leave and come on back home. No. He sent him down there to explain to the man what this meant. Now, let me give you a word of warning. Not every man that attempts to explain explains it properly. There are so many false doctrines out there in the world. Some people do it ignorantly. Some people do it because of the great financial gain that they find in it. Some people do it because of the popularity that is involved in it. At any rate, we ought to be like the people of Berea. We're told in Acts 17, verse 11, they were more noble than the people in Thessalonica. Paul preached the gospel to them, and they received it with all readiness of mind, but they searched the Scriptures daily, whether it be so. And so we need the Bible. We need someone to preach it and explain it. The commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go make disciples of all nations. Mark 16, 15, Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. Please God with the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We find Paul telling the people at Corinth, the first chapter of that first epistle. So preaching is so very important, but so is understanding it. Preaching helps us to understand what God says, but only if we compare what God says with what the preacher says. Very vital. Now, understanding is important. I know a lot of people who understand a great deal more than they are willing to admit. They know that Jesus died for us. They know the gospel plan of salvation. They understand that. But you know, it's important not only to read and understand, but the third step in this conversion was he believed what he understood. There are a lot of people that know that Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. They understand that. They don't believe it. Or that Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in order that you may receive the forgiveness of your sins." Understand that. But they don't believe it. I'm sure that you know a lot of people who know a great deal about the Bible, understand it, but they don't believe it. You see, that makes the fires of hell even hotter. Now, a man can be lost in ignorance. The fact that a man does not know the truth does not spare him hell. Jesus came to save, but he came to save only those who would come to him. Now, I know there are a lot of people who want to do a lot of soft stepping here. A lot of people who want to do some hemming and hawing. Even some of the great television evangelists that you see want you to believe that you can be saved without knowing about Christ. No. You can't be saved while you're rejecting Christ as, say, the Jew does. By rejecting Christ as an atheist does. There is only one way to heaven, and that's in Christ. It's a name that's above every name. And it's through that name, that authority only. You go preach by the authority of Christ. So when people read what they have, they understand what they read because they receive help from the right source. Help from the right source tells us, as Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright." King James Version says, "rightly dividing the word of truth." That's how we understand. But what kind of impression does it make on our heart? I have people who understand virtually all that the book of Acts and the principles that give us the background of the book of Acts understand all of that, but they don't believe it. And the simple reason is they don't want to. Somebody that's been especially trained to take God's word and wrest it and twist it to their own damnation, they also bring damnation upon those who hear them and believe them. It's necessary that we understand the word of God properly. That can be done only if we're willing to rightly divide it. But how are you going to believe unless you understand it? Nobody can believe anything if they don't first understand, at least in some measure. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to understand it in its complexities. I don't know how the death of Christ could save me, but it can. It did, and it will. I don't have to understand how all that works in the plan of God and in the mind of God, but I do have to understand that He did. And that I must believe that. You know, when Paul tells the people at Ephesus, Ephesians 5, verse 20, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." He was not giving some kind of a commandment that's impossible to keep. No, the idea that men cannot understand without a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon their heart are people who are preaching falsehood. That's why God said, read. That's why God said, the gospel is to be preached. That's why God said, receive it, like the people at Berea, and search the Scriptures, whether it be so, and why He told Timothy, learn to rightly divide the Word of God. Now, when all of that is in place, we have to believe it. The importance of faith. But faith is not the only thing, of course. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins," John 4:24. Hebrews 11 reminds us, without faith, It's impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In John 1, 10 and 11, we're told that Jesus went back to His home where He was not well-received. They did not truly believe Him. But He said, those that did believe Him were given the right to become sons of God. They were not saved simply because they believed. And we'll see that just a moment later in our lesson. It takes more than just believing. James 2. Abraham, the father of our faith. We don't have the blood of Abraham. We have to have the kind of faith Abraham had. He said Abraham was not justified by faith only, and neither are you. James 2, verse 24. And so there are many times that God says a man is not saved by faith only. How could someone believe they are? Well, they obviously don't understand. They have not read rightly. They have not divided rightly. So you have to believe the truth. Now let's stop and review for a moment. Here's a man we're holding up as an example because he read what he had. With help from a man sent by God, he understood what he read. And because he was a man honest in his heart, desiring salvation, earnestly seeking to please God, he believed what he understood. I'm begging you, if I am not rightly dividing the Word of God, tell me. Did you know I've been in several denominational bodies during my lifetime? And wherever I was, I believed I was doing right. When I was playing the piano and the organ in a denominational church, I believed I was doing right. When I thought I was saved by faith only, I thought I was doing right. When I was, we talk about sprinkling. In this instance, the man just dipped his fingers in water and then laid them on my head and let the water sort of trickle down my face. And there was a basin there that says, one God, one faith, one baptism. But that was not baptism. You see, I believed those things because I did not properly understand the Word of God. Now, when you read what you have and you understand what you read and you believe what you understand, then you have to obey what you believe. The Bible says so much about the necessity of obedience. He is the author of eternal salvation to all that believe Him. He's talking here about Christ Himself, though He were a son. Yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and having been made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Jesus asked in Luke 6, verse 46. And do not the things which I command you. How can a man please God without obeying God? There is no way. But you can't obey until you believe, because you understand, because you have read, have access to what the Bible says. You've read it or somebody's preached it to you. And so it all fits together in a wonderful plan and enables us to understand more and more the principles that are laid down in the Scriptures. That's one reason we have the book of Acts. Let me ask you, have you obeyed the Lord? The Bible talks about obeying the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, talks about the necessity of our giving our obedience to the gospel. To you who are troubled, Paul says, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and them that obey not the gospel of Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. These people didn't know God, but there was a different class also. They knew God, but they did not obey God. Have you obeyed God? Have you turned to Him with a broken and contrite heart because you believe in Him and now you are so sorry that the sins of your life have broken the heart of God? And so you're willing to repent, as Luke 13:3 demands. Willing to make the confession that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, Romans 10:9 and 10, and to enter with Christ. We're buried with Him, Romans 6:3 and 4. Buried with Christ, raised with Him. So we have the new birth of water and the Spirit, John 3:5. Paul tells that these people who had been buried with Christ and raised with Christ had now obeyed Christ. He says in that same chapter, Romans chapter 6, verses 16, 17, thanks be to God, whereas you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. Man must obey God. Now, here's a man who read what he had. He understood what he read. He believed what he understood. He obeyed what he believed. And then there's a natural outcome. He rejoiced in what he obeyed. Rejoicing is a great part of salvation. The story ends by saying, the Lord caught Philip away that this man saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, Philip's preaching had brought the same kind of result up in Samaria. He had preached the kingdom of God, which is the church, the name of Christ, which is His authority, and baptism. You see, that's what he preached to this man, because after he had taught him about Jesus, it was the man on his own initiative who said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" How do you suppose he learned that he ought to be baptized? The gospel preacher explained it to him just like he had when he was up at Samaria. Now we find the man obeying what God has commanded and rejoicing in what he had obeyed. You know, when Philip preached these great truths up in Samaria, and the people received them with all readiness of mind when they obeyed the gospel. Before Philip left Samaria to go down to Gaza, we're told what had happened in that city among those who had received and obeyed. Acts 8, verse 8 says, "And there was great joy in that city."